In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We're now on lesson 24, which is the sacrament of baptism. And it starts out with a quote, "Unless a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, we don't want to be literalists in this sense, or fundamentalists, where we take a verse from Scripture and construct an entire theology from it without taking into account other verses of Scripture and tradition. But this does remain, and it is true. The sacrament of baptism is essential to the Christian life. It now goes into, we're on page 151, how being born again took place in the life of Christ. Christ's first birth was in the flesh. He died for our sins and was buried. His second birth was from the tomb, just so. At our first birth, we have sin on our souls, and we go under the water, have water poured over us. We die to sin and are buried with Christ. And coming up out of the water, our second birth symbolizes the rising with Christ to the new life of grace. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all we who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? For we were buried with him by means of baptism unto death, in order that, just as Christ has arisen from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we may also walk in newness of life." A quote there from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Now, this is also symbolized, though not so expressly, when the water is only poured on the person being baptized. Most of the time now, we do the pouring in the form of a cross. Next, we have a quote from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Question 315, what is baptism? Baptism is the sacrament that gives our souls the new life of sanctifying grace, by which we become children of God and heirs of heaven. Since it is God who gives us birth in this new life, we become his children. St. Paul says, "If we are sons of God, we are heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ, provided, however, we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him." Another quote there from the Epistle to the Romans. There's a chapel near Ravenna, Italy, which, if I recall right, was built in the 5th century. It has two doors, and the whole church is just a baptistry. So it's a good symbol of being baptized into his death, because what they would do is the convert would be with the community, the small church, on one side of the doors, enter into the doors, and walk down into the bottom of the chapel, which was, down there was a pool of water. The doors would be shut behind him. It was going down, literally, into death, if you will. And then he would be baptized, with all his clothes off. And, of course, at that time, they used to have deaconesses, so that if a woman was being received into the church, it was considered not, of course, not proper for a man to do the baptism in that case, but a deaconess instead. So they go into the water. They put on a white robe, thick white wool robe, and come out on the other side. So it's a going down and coming up, a good symbol of what baptism really does to sin in our souls. It destroys sin, and we rise into a new life. So this is mind-blowing, that we could be like the eldest son of the great noble who will inherit everything his father had, all his estate. But these are precisely the words St. Paul says, joint heirs with Christ. It is an entirely new life, but a very hidden life, like the Master's life was hidden here on earth. And as to what we're going to inherit, well, it is so great that later on St. Paul says it has not entered into the mind or heart of man what things God has in store for them that love him. Question 316. What sins does baptism take away? Baptism takes away original sin, and also actual sin, and all the punishment due to them, and if the person be baptized, be guilty of any actual sins and truly sorry for them. So it takes away sin of every kind, but it is not magic. If someone receives baptism with a bad disposition and will not repent, well, they can go all into all the pools, have all the water poured on them in the world, and it will do them no good, and even do great harm if it is received as a sacrilege. In other words, let's say in a Catholic culture, somebody determines, if I get baptized, I'll get ahead in business, or I'll be able to do this or that, and have some other disposition than the one necessary to receive the sacrament, then, well, the sacrament becomes, for that person, a sacrilege. Question 317. What are the effects of the character imprinted on the soul by baptism? The effects of the character imprinted on the soul by baptism are that we become members of the Church, subject to its laws, and capable of receiving other sacraments. St. Paul says we are baptized into Christ, that is, we become members of his mystical body. We are branches grafted onto the vine, which is Christ. Baptism is called the gateway of the sacraments because, unless we pass through this gateway, it is impossible to receive any of the other sacraments. So we see why the character imposed or given by baptism is so important. Just being subject to the laws of the Church is a great blessing in itself, to be sure. I mean, imagine for a moment life in a society without any laws, but dependent only on the wish or whim of whoever has the most power. It's a dreadful thought. Another pleasant thought is that baptism makes us capable of receiving other sacraments. No other sacrament may be received unless this one is first received. Think of it this way. There are many things we are not capable of receiving unless we have been properly prepared, and the grace of God is needed as he ordains it to receive more grace. Question 318. Who can administer baptism? The priest is the usual minister of baptism, but if there is danger that someone will die without baptism, anyone else may and should baptize. Question 319. How would you give baptism? I would give baptism by pouring ordinary water on the forehead of the person to be baptized, saying while pouring it, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now to this, of course, you could add a patron saint. If it's a man, you could say, Joseph, I baptize thee in the name. Or if it's a girl, a woman, you could say, Mary, I baptize thee. But notice it said anyone, even a non-Catholic, can do this. He just needs to do it according to the intention of the Church, how the Church says it. Water on the forehead across the skin and saying those words while you're pouring the water. Now, of course, if there is no forehead left, a grisly thought, but let's say in the case of a severe accident, then go to some skin that is good. And there might not be much left, say, with a burning victim. A dreadful thought, but what a blessing we could give somebody in such a case.